time.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Ghetto. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Dayton, I say up and running.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey, host of the talk show Inside Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Fridays, except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316 and 325-4259, and you can text us at 422-GR96, and you can follow us up on Guardian Crest, also Cable Bahamas, our producing studios. It's not other than Ali Roll, and he's our producer on the show here tonight. There have been a lot of interesting news happening in the government sector, and some of those we like to talk about. You know, it's going into the new year, and we want to talk about a progress report on if we have learned nothing over the years on how we're going to adapt to a new world, because basically living in the community, I've seen different generation come and go. And now in the community, you're seeing a different generation in this inner city community. And it's like a new beginning here in the Bahamas. Because when you look at it, most of these young generations of Bahamians who are living here in this inner city community and in the Bahamas at large, those who are qualified nurses, doctors, some even police officers, or just qualified enough to hold high-paying jobs. We're talking jobs like 30, 40,000, which, you know, to their standard, you know, living in a country, which actually is an island, but we've become a concrete jungle, and we are one of the most expensive places to live. Wi-Fi is expensive. Electricity bill, BPL. It's very expensive on the taxpayers, and then we have quite a lot of tax add on to that. We had a 2-year drought with COVID-19, and many people were found themselves unemployed, and those who were financially stable were able to tap in their resources and were able to stabilize their finances in order to be able to function once the COVID-19 pandemic was under control, which many people are rebounding now in the country. And saying all that, many people also are leaving the country for better paying jobs, like for teachers and et cetera, and doctors, et cetera, leaving the country. It's because, you know, with the high taxes in the country, with, you know, the high bills, like I said earlier, you know, so this deducts out your salary, and just, even though some people are making $20,000, $30,000 per year, $33,000, it's still is not satisfactory based on the way how the food prices are up and down, the electricity bill is up and down, you know, and then we, you know, sometimes run into problems, health problems and car problems, you know, school kids and, you know, so the money is spread out. And that's for the people in the $20,000 to $30,000 range. Then you're looking at people who live in an inner city community who, you know, don't even make that type of money a year. Some people probably make $10,000 or $5,000 a year. Some might scrap a little 15, 20, you know, basically just hustling, doing odd jobs, you know, and et cetera. So, yeah, and a lot of people live in the country, you know. And so basically, you have a society of new generation now who are looking for something that can benefit them. And as it stands now, I don't see that happening, even though the government is doing major development across the board, Freeport, Ragged Island, Chester Cooper, the deputy prime minister, doing an outstanding job of providing infrastructure, he's providing jobs, he's providing new housing and et cetera. And that's the progress we want to see, you know, for a member of parliament for his constituency, what he's doing in that part of that region, you know, Ragged Island and stuff. You know, it's going to be very beneficial to those living there because they're not only getting a new hotel, they're also being a part of the process of getting new homes and starting small businesses. So how you put it, they're going to be able to attract a volume of tourists who are actually as customers to actually bring revenue in their community. So it's going to be a plus. So I must give the Deputy Prime Minister a plus for that and the government departments a plus for that. And that is exactly what that island needs and its residents and its community people need to revitalize that community and take it to where these people who are 100-years now can start off being 100-years and they can be 1,000-years and you know what's the cost and they continue to get better at being a tourist-oriented community. With the latest, you know, Airbnb and latest restaurants and water sports and craft sports and whatever, et cetera, that attracts the tourists, it's going to be a plus for them. And people's going to grow, you know, and they're going to grow and they're going to travel and they're going to be a very successful community. As for us in Arsenal Providence, again, the governor of the Bahamas is doing an outstanding job in Freeport. They're doing an outstanding job with major investments in the billions. You know, every time I look on the news, there's major investment. That is a plus. With a big cabinet that the government has at the moment, I think we need to see how we can find a way to do something like what Chester Cooper is doing in Ragged Island. I want you to bear in mind, I'm doing something similar. I don't have the finance, but I'm doing it piece, and we're making good progress. But the Deputy Prime Minister made a statement concerning downtown. They were to an event. I think they opened the event. I think the Prime Minister there as well. And he gave a speech. He was talking about the development happening on downtown Bay Street. You know, they toured Bay Street, and when they look at it, they said it was horrific. Means that it's a sore eye, you know, fast eye can see. So he was encouraging the business owners who own these particular abandoned complexes on Bay Street or abandoned buildings, you know. I think they were in the millions, in short in the millions. He is advising them to redevelop or come together and redevelop your property or your rundown building that is a sore eye on Bay Street. And then he's talking also about how much money is being invested on Bay Street so that they could accommodate the record-breaking tourist arrivals here to happen in Arsenal Providence in 2023. If I'm right, it's estimated that we're going to have 10 million visitors visiting our shores next year. And also, I think it broke the record from in 2018 or 2019 when we had a record 7-point-something visitors that visited NASA, New Providence, and the Bahamas at large, which is a plus for us as a country. I would like to say to the Deputy Prime Minister also, what is happening, even though we're seeing this remarkable progress with record-breaking tourists coming to our shore, new developments happening all over the country. How are we in the Overdale community are going to benefit from this influx of record-breaking tourists? Are we still going to rely on the taxi drivers who are set on a record-breaking, customer increase? I was listening and reading the news. It was estimated that taxi drivers this year, with the number of arrivals of tourists, arrivals in the country, it's estimated a taxi driver is going to make anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 based on the arrival and the bookings of the hotels and et cetera. So they're using that the bookings and arrivals for 2023 as a way to see how much revenue is going to be created for the tourists who visit our shores. So I just want to ask, one family just won a Junkin Parade, 1-357 Norn mentioned it last week. You know, I'm a one family, but I'm also a Junkinua. I love all the groups. I love all the performance, you know. But it's sometimes some groups give it their best, and the best is what we should, you know, be appreciative of. But overall, I'm a Junkinua, and thumbs up the one family and also the whole Junkin community for putting on an outstanding parade. I also like to give a special request to the Royal Bahamas Police Force for doing a wonderful, the policing all over. You're in the dark spots, you're in the parking lots, you're up on the fort, you put lights up on the fort to make sure no one could break in, no one cars, they park for Junkin Parade. There were 800 police officers and defense force deployed along that strip. Thumbs up to the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Thumbs up to the Royal Bahamas Police Force, an outstanding job. And thumbs up to the Bahamian citizens for not causing a lot of disturbance at the Junkin Parade. I'm going to take this one call, then I'm going to get back to my topic. Caller, go ahead. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scroogey, good evening. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Awesome. Very excellent. I must commend you on a very excellent topic that you selected tonight. I got one or two views on it after having been in the tourism sector or the hotel sector for over 3 decades.
Yes, sir.
Just want to give my input on the conversation at hand.
Go ahead, sir.
Very interesting that you spoke about downtown, which happens to be the central focus of New Providence, Nassau proper. The condition of the buildings down there are been for quite some time been addressed both publicly. Well, publicly, I don't know how much in private it has been. Words have been exchanged with a lot of these property owners. It seems as if there's no serious effort on their behalf to clean up downtown, which is supposedly a representation of the Bahamian people as a whole. Because if downtown looks like garbage,
it does,
then what is the perception that the people perceive of us as a people? You know, I think it's about time, eminent domain, if that is the right words to use in this context, the government should exercise that. I mean, after having spoken to relevant owners, if they persist in not cleaning up their properties, I think they need to carry to the next step. Either one, force their hand, or two, give up the property so the government, on behalf of the Bahamian people, can develop those properties into something that is presentable and clean. I believe that a lot of small persons who are into small business, those spaces can be utilized to create a group of buildings or such that, persons who are into small businesses who would help to generate the revenues that the country really needs to drive the economy. Perhaps that is what they need to do in order to give these persons, especially the young people who are entrepreneurs, an opportunity to occupy a space and get their businesses going. That is part one. The second part is you spoke quite eloquently about the overtown interest or, you know, getting into these other areas. I have yet to hear if there are any plans where the government is speaking to or participating with these persons who own small businesses in these communities, which means that also the MPs for these constituencies need to get involved. What do I mean by this? all of the, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, my good friend Freddie Munnings speaks often about it, because we all have memories of when, you know, the average guest that comes to this country actually frequent nightclubs and stuff that bohemian business owners actually had. And that spurred them coming over the hill, you know, into these communities to generate some type of revenues for the community. I believe that if we can create the programs where, you know, these business owners would get together with the government, and the government would then sponsor, as they often do with these, with many of these hotels, that gets concessions as well as not stipends, but they're being given money to promote their properties and promote the services that these properties offer. Perhaps this is something too that they should do with the small business owners over the hill, along with the MPs, to provide the adequate security, the adequate lighting, and also to put the security protections in place.
Yes.
That when these guests do come over the hill, that there's a sense of safety in these areas. So there are so many things, Scrooge, I can talk about here, but I don't want to make my contribution too lengthy. But, you know, these are just some of the things that many of us have been talking about for quite some time. But oftentimes it appears that the voices of the people falls on deaf ears. So we need to get our economy going. We need to get the middle class reestablished. That also is responsible for driving the economy.
Yes.
And let's see if we can get our country back up and running. In particular, to get our bohemian people back to work. Many of us are not back to work. Many of us yearn to work. But there's often, you know, either because of the age, gender, or if you're not in the clique, you tend to be out of work. Yes. So I just want to end my commentary there and just, you know, congratulate you on a very salient topic that must be had. And I trust that the voices, I mean, the persons who have the power in their hands are listening to the voices of the people to get our economy going. Thanks for taking my call, Scrooge.
It's a pleasure. You did such a wonderful job. You basically explained everything that I was trying to explain what we're going to have to do. Yes, and the caller is 150% right. He made three suggestions, and the three was on par. He talked about the downtown redevelopment. Either the government takes the property or buy the property from the individual after giving them advice to find something substantial to do with the eyesore problem that is affecting us, you know, because we have record-breaking guests coming to our shores. They're looking to see the beauty. They're looking to see where they're investing their money. You know, they're coming from Mississippi. They could be coming from Canada. They could be coming from the U.S. They could be coming from any one of the. They could be coming from France. And when they come here, they see this beautiful paradise of National Providence. And basically, they're just seeing something like Paradise Island picture. And, you know, some places downtown. And that is basically it, you know. And when they come here, you know, they want to also mix and mingle over the hill. If I don't have to say this, the taxi drivers can tell you this right now. The police officers can tell you this. Citizens who are living in the country now can tell you there's a volume of guests coming over the hill, regardless of the travel advisory they've been given about over the hill. And I think for me, as a young person, I think we get a bad name with this travel advisory. Like I said before, I have my own statistics, and I challenge the old Bahamas. I would say, look at our murder count. It's 127. I say, look how many tourists have come to National Providence and have gotten killed. We had one incident, Andres, and those guys were nincompoop. They should pay the full penalty. We should send an apology to the residents and country, which the Bahamas Embassy already did, to the life lost, to the guests who frequent Andres. And us, as you know, the gentleman talked about security. Security should be in full force with the community residents who reside in the community, working with the local police and working with the local community board, you know, because even when these guests are allowed to come in the community, and I want you to believe, if they're walking through now and no one is troubling them, I want you to believe what I'm saying now. They're over in Mason Addition and Fort Finn Castle. They're moving up and down the Fort Finn Castle in high volume. Okay, and they're going down in Mason Addition, and they're seeing people every day. Then if you look at Grunstown, where I reside, they're coming through in bundles, passing through the city market. Yeah, they're on four-wheelers. The taxi drivers are riding through. okay? And then we look on Market Street. They're coming on Market Street. They're coming on East Street. And they're walking, they're looking left and right. I don't think these tourists are fools. They're not walking, showing their money. They're walking with a knapsack, nice, and hide. You know, the knapsack is like, you know, make sure you can't steal nothing from them. They're making sure that their cameras are well secure. And when you're talking to them, you know, you're saying morning to them, they're saying morning back to you, and they're saying, you're so nice. And you listen, and the thing most about it is that most Bahamians are shy to even approach a guest in the country. So why is we always getting this stigma that tourists can't come on the hill, they come on the hill, we're going to rob them, we're going to sell them drugs, and et cetera. Yes, they might come over the hill and might get some drugs from some individuals, but they still do get it on Bay Street, even as we speak now. But if we do the proper security clearance, like the caller said, like from my incident, my community that I reside in, I'm trying my best now to make that a security zone, and it's working. I'm not even concerned about them getting harmed because the resident area they wasn't getting it at first. Now over the years, they're starting to get it. And I tell them, say, listen to me, my brothers. I say, we don't have to like one another. I say, you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm all about? I don't have to talk what I'm doing. You know, I'm always cleaning up the neighborhood. I'm always telling you guys, I'm trying to help you guys. This is just how I can help you guys. If I could bring some empowerment, if I could build a community center, then I could bring some duplicate of a center, like where we could, as we start to get stronger, you come up with creative ideas and now on how you could benefit the community. At first, when we started, you know, we taught you know what the problem was. But then as you see, right, and something that you can benefit from and how it could benefit the community, and a different idea came into the spectrum. They say, you know what, why don't we develop a community center that teaches wood carving, the junk canoe trade, you know, anyone who good with making artifacts with their hands and et cetera, who could do the painting and stuff like that. We'd establish a center and grab all the talent that is available in the community and teach them the aspects of these small trades so that when we start, the tourist flow comes in our community, they stop at my restaurant, someone on the road could have a little barber shop, someone on the side of them could have a lady could have a nail technician shop, someone could have a hair braiding someone could have a hair braiding stall set up down the road, a few of us could have breakfast stalls, coffee stalls, Wi-Fi, selling Wi-Fi, we have a few green spaces, and then we have the talent available in the community with the small trade, like the wood carvers. The guys who just won the junk and red, they don't have to waste their talent. They could use that talent, make some junk and doors, and they have an opportunity to make some money in their own community because the guests are coming in walking distance. All it takes for us to understand, let's keep them community clean, let's understand that we're trying to work with one another to make the community better. We can't be rowing one another. We can't be cursing with one another. If we have a dispute, let's sit down and have a discussion, and we're going to find ways on how we could communicate and understand that it's a bigger cause, that we stand a chance of having American money in our pocket. And many of us who are unemployed now has an opportunity to be employed in our community and have an honest living. And then that's the most part about it. Most businesses in Nassau is not successful because they're in a community where everyone is poor. The Chinese is there, but they're gathering up all the money from different walks of the neighborhood. But for us who are going to open a breakfast stall, the customers who are going to come are young persons who are unemployed and just scrapping. So you're not going to have a volume of oil or big profit ratio with your business. But if you have guests coming in the community with all the small businesses, then the people who were unemployed now will start earning an honest living. Okay, like a painting guy can start selling painting, he can make up over $100 a day. A guy could be selling newspaper now in the community now. The tourists walking through, they want to see the Tribune, they want to see the Guardian as they walk through the community. All these things are going to create opportunities for individuals in the community. You understand what I'm saying? So, yes, the call is basically correct. And like I said, safety precaution is us as a community is going to understand that when these guests come in our community, they are guests, but they're also customers, and how we can benefit greatly from it. So I just want to say a thumbs up to Chester Cooper and the government. You guys are going to be way more creative because you have a population out here who are looking for leadership. And right now there's a new generation out there who don't have no idea on what they want to do in life or how they're going to be able to better themselves. They're a lost generation right now. And if we don't take advantage of the inner city community, we're going to run into a big problem here in the country. Gangs are on the decline in the country, you know. That's why the Drunken Parade was so successful. This is the first time that I didn't see a gang of guys leaving from East Street, from East Street, from Bantan, or from the community that I reside in. You know why? Because guys are learning now. They're learning now that, hey, you know, if you go and you be a part of this certain organization, chances are you're going to lose your life. And what you're going to benefit, you know? You're not benefiting nothing. You ain't getting a work. You can't pay your rent. You can't help your mother. You understand? You're jeopardizing the freedom of your mother or your uncle or your aunt because you're selling drugs in the house. And when the police come, the police is going to raid your house. And when they find the drugs in the house, the police is going to get everyone. So these things now are dawning on the young generation now. And this is a new generation. So I want to encourage the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, invest in the inner city community, okay? All right? We are closest to Bay Street, Mason Addition, Grunston, Bantan. Nicola talked about how many guests used to come over the hill back in the 60s and 40s and et cetera, probably even to the 70s and 80s, because I was the last one to witness it living in the community that I reside in. It was actually 1 million visitors that used to come over the hill after 5 o'clock. You talk about Freddie Munnings. I used to watch Freddie Munnings perform at his daddy's place on East Street. Across from him, we had a Capitol Theater. The Capitol Theater was shooter on Market Street. And we had the next theater right there. And we had 1 million visitors. According to the book, there were 5,000 small businesses are in the community, and they had the economy of the tourists that were coming over there at 5 o'clock, coming to the show, coming to the local barbershop, fishman used to ride through. So it was a great economy. Everyone had their own small business, and it was a thriving because if everyone is going to make a few dollars because you have a volume of guests coming over, and they're going to stop and spend as they go. So everyone is profiting. So that's why there's no need for no one to be arguing. You know, and that's the way we're going to have to think. And as far as crime, like I said, we had 127 murders. We had one American tourist, I think it was a German tourist, killed here in the country. We had a few boy snatching. I think we had a few rape allegations. Some must be false when they check it out. So overall, if you look at it, we're not a crime-infested country where against tourists. We just have a problem with ourselves, and I believe that if we start to empower this new generation ourselves, I think this would be able to help people become a stronger family-oriented structure because they'd have a good income. They'd also learn how to do the new Bitcoin and no banking. So people would start to take care of their family. You know, a young guy would be able to take care of his girlfriend, you know, because he got a steady income. He could be able to pay his rent now because he have a steady income. And he don't have to go too far. And this changes everything. Then he start to have a strong family structure. Then he would be able to send his son to a nice private school, and then probably his son needs a scholarship, and he might not have to ask no one to get some funds to send his son away to school because his girlfriend could be a hair braider, and they're in the community, and they both have their small businesses. So they put their money, they pool their money together, and they could send he or she to the best training facility to become something great, like how it happened before with the inner city community. So the potentials are there. So government people, I hear y'all talking a lot of investments on Bay Street. We also have to develop the inner city community that is in proximity of Bay Street. And then that money will trickle down. And like I said, the guests are roaming the streets as we speak. You know, they be there till 5 o'clock. And we only want them there till 5 o'clock, till we could get that night life in a safe and secure environment. You know, so let's from 7 to 5. We could have the guests come over. And that could be where all the small businesses up in that community could coordinate, communicate with one another, and the taxi drivers and the horse cast drivers could be stopping through these communities. all right? And just stopping spending American dollars and doing Bitcoin, et cetera. And that's what we need, you know, I feel. You know, because think about this. The majority of money that comes over the hill, right, comes from the taxi drivers, comes from people who work the Wendy's or McDonald's or who work in the hotel downtown or who work the fish fry or who work to one of the Chinese restaurants on Bay Street or who work the Huffers and Sons. So the American money that spends on Bay Street and the credit cards that are exchanging funds is spending on Bay Street. And all happened is the ladies who work at the scroll market, who make their little living off selling the scroll works or who hair braiding. So they bring their little scrappy American dollars, what they make, over the hill. That's why we don't see a lot of American dollars flourishing through the inner city community because it never reach. I'm just giving a little estimate. I feel that, you know, just say in a year time, with this 10 million visitors reach Nassau, New Providence, add up all the money that makes on Bay Street and everyone who's bringing over taxi drivers going home. He lives in Mason Addition. The horse carriage guy, he lives down, say, South Beach. So he takes the money he makes from Bay Street and he carries down to South Beach. So that's how the American money gets in the community. You understand? So wherever those people live, they go spend at the convenience store or go spend at McDonald's. And that's how the American currency get in the Bahamian cycle, you know? But what if we can gather more, you know, create more jobs? The maritime industry has about 700 to 800 different trades you can learn in maritime, okay? And Bahamians also need to go in maritime because that's a tourism sector that has billions of dollars involved in it. You're talking yachting, you're talking being a captain, driving cruise ship, traveling the world. You know, you could be a captain. You know, if you keep studying your maritime, you get your maritime captain's license, you know, it's very profitable. So I want to encourage young persons out there to get into maritime because this is very important. And also in agriculture. So I just want to say, you know, if we want to create real employment, the tourism sector, agriculture, and the fisheries, you know, are where we could get the most employment. And most of these can be small businesses that can actually start to bring up the middle class again. You know, because there's a lot of money if you keep it up and be successful fishing and the tourism industry, growing your fruits and vegetables on a consistent basis and taking it serious. You can make yourself $1,000, then $1,000, then a millionaire in a few years. You know, you just got to look at Bahamas Scriping, for instance. The young guy started off with nothing. Now he is a multi-million-dollar company. Look at Beauty Bakery. Look at Bamboo Shack. Look at The Guardian. Okay? Look at the College of the Bahamas. Okay? The smaller set of businesses have become very successful just starting off small and just being consistent, learning money management, learning how to show hospitality, how to treat customers. And they grew and they grew and they grew. And now they multi-million dollars companies. Check out the Sunshine Groups of companies, the late Bradley Roberts and Frankie Wilson. So Frankie Wilson, they business partners. They invest $5,000 in the Sunshine Group. All of those guys became millionaires. Bismarck Coakley, you know, I think Neil Ellis was a part of it too. And they became millionaires, you know. So why can't we do the same in our inner city communities? But we need for people to think out the box. One family just won the Junkanoo Parade. Saxons are right across from one family. One family was formed when they break off through Taylor Street. I was there in the yard as Ron 2022. You know, I was not a junkie, but I support my younger guys, James Charles, Chucky and Bomo. You know, they was junkie freaks and Shaki. They was one family. They were Sox and they came at one family to the Davis family. All the Pooey them and Gay them, all them my cousins them through Taylor Street, and that's where it was formed. Now, we just won the parade, all right? Tourists are coming walking around in the inner city community, and we right there where the Junkunu practice is, okay? So if they want to see the one family, Shaq, or some costume, where they going to go? You know, the gentleman talked about the fuck about Bay Street. Bay Street can turn into a museum for all of those costumes that some of the guys them have spent a whole year investing thousands and thousands of dollars on. So you can imagine, like, if you set up a museum where you get the Saxon costume, you get the one family costume, you get the Roots costume, you just put them in there. And then you put them on display, and then some guests, you know, would say, well, wow, we miss Junkanoo, but this is Junkanoo, how Junkanoo is. And then you normally have a little rush out around it, you know, to make sure that that's how it is when you come to Junkanoo in the Bahamas, but these costumes still are there. And then you could have people selling their stuff in there, like the caller said, you know? And they'd be intrigued, and they'd be getting history. And then, you know, they might say, you know, let me buy that one and carry it back to my home in California. You know, it's beautiful, and put it on display, you know? So that's what we have to think of the box, you know? Guys spend thousands of dollars here around building their costumes. If they don't win best costume, they don't get nothing, you know? And then the costume just left somewhere, and that's the end of that. But these things can be made because the tourists, the small stuff that we don't take serious, they take serious. And it's profitable for us, you know. It's very profitable for us. Okay, we're going to take this call, then I'm going to the part of the algae culture. I want to talk about Clay Sweden and what the terrific idea he's talking about when it comes to food security. Yes. Okay, so go ahead, call on.
Yeah, you know, man.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, you ain't got much thoughts, though.
Ah, yeah?
Look like you basically talking solo with me, and you ain't got much thoughts on it.
Yeah, I say now when you finish, I was going to the next topic. Go ahead.
No, I just call to say everything cool, and you ain't got much thoughts, man, because I mean, I don't know what's going on. Probably you all talking like to be recording.
No, people listen because this is something that you're teaching them on what needs to happen to the country.
All right, the community.
This is about encouraging people to do this stuff in their community, to pull together and how we can benefit from it. So it's more like a learning lesson.
Yeah. All is God, though.
All is God?
Yeah, man.
All right. You like the show? You like some of the suggestions? You want to comment on anything?
That's good. You know, I call your show because your show is be real.
Okay.
Are all in Guardian, yours is real. I mean, born, gone, now, so that's it. I mean, don't go there.
All right. Okay, then.
You have
a blessed night, man.
Yeah.
Enough thanks. We take a break, and we re-rock on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
I represent the ghetto people I from. Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Bintan, bro. Boy, I from Bintan, bro.
Oh, wow. What's that under the Christmas tree? Up to $1,000 cash back for you and me? 10 lucky customers get a chance to win up to $1,000 cash back this Christmas just for spending $60 and over with their Scotiabank credit card in-store or online. That's up to $1,000 cash back to spend on gifts, gas, groceries, and more this Christmas. Visit bs.scotiabank.com for more information. Promotion ends January 28, 2023. Conditions apply.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Happy holidays from Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful and wonderful Christmas.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
We're back on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun. And you know, the caller said, you know, no one is calling. See, I just want people to know that for me, I'm encouraging people. I'm giving you ideas because I've given the country many ideas and the country has run with it and it's been very successful. Some have won general elections. Some of my work has been passed in legislation. Some of the country, some of the government's work now that governments are doing now are some of my work. That's because I've been blessed, asking God for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and bravery to know fear no man, and also to be a person to be fair and fight for what's right. Not trying to prove nothing to nobody, just trying to make a difference and see what's wrong in the country and try to correct it best way possible. Not to intimidate nobody, but to lead by example. And that's my calling, you know, that's all I care about. And as my good friend Juan McCartney, you know, life takes stages. Did you expect for Juan McCartney to be on radio, what, 20, 30 years? Opportunities have to be available, you know, Juan, fight for the people. But there's different other ways you can fight for the people. You know, I heard a little earlier on a show when someone said, you know, a message he read it, said that the PLP getting. So what if the PLP getting? Huh? You don't think the man deserved to be in a position, if that's the case, to be able to help even more people? You can help as much you can on the radio. He has done that. But this could be a next step in stone where he'd be in a better position to help. So to him, thumbs up, my brother. As long as you're living, you're always looking for the next opportunity to help yourself and your family and to help others. And sometimes making that choice and that jump is the best decision for you and your family. And the opportunities that you'll be able to come across by taking that jump would be able to help others because your heart is still in the same place. It's just an opportunity for you to take. And only you and your wife decides that. So to that person who said that message to you, we as a people have to be happy for the individual because we are trying to judge a man based on him fighting for the people. Now because he's leaving the radio, we are saying, one or two people are saying that he got appointed by the people. So what? It doesn't matter. The man has an opportunity to make decisions for himself. He did his part on the Guardian Radio, okay? I'm not going to be here forever. The producer's not going to be here forever. Dwight Scrawn is not going to be here forever. You know, we're going to have to take that leap, and I'm going to say, that's it for me. You don't want to be nothing. It just, I feel it's time for me to move on to something else. Maybe I want to go into cooking. You know what I mean? You understand? So, warn to you. You did a fantastic job. I think you're going to continue to even do a better job wherever you're indoors indoors take you. Just keep up the good work. You know, that's what I want to say for Mr. Juan. Yeah, so I also want to talk about, we talked about the development on Bay Street. I also want to talk about our food security. I'm listening to, I was reading. Let me go on my Facebook page. Sorry. And I like to read. And I always want the government to see how ways they can make it easier for the Bemidji population, especially when it comes to the prices of vegetables and food in the country. And over the course, over the years, we have advocated for many years about food security. And now the government, the current government now, under the Minister Clay Sweden, he said the global inflation crisis is leading a transformation of agriculture as he lays out the plans to increase opportunities and food security for Bahamians. And, sorry, and he's saying many opportunities. He's saying that we're looking every year, Obama spends $1 billion on important food. And he said every chicken should come from a Bahamian farmer. So I think the government is looking to invest, I think, $27 million into growing our own chicken in the country and local farmers. This is a plus for us. I couldn't play it on radio. I wanted to play on radio, but you can't do that. There will be $100 million investment in food security and production. I have it on the paper, so let me read it from there. It'd be better. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Where did I go? I just had that. Where it gone? I just had that. Okay, let me finish reading. He said he's encouraging the new generation of farmers and fishermen and working Bahamians across our islands to usher in a new era for Bahamian agriculture in the Bahamas. So food security has been a big issue in the country for the course of many, many years. And there are a lot of high global prices. And we should not continue to import. 90% of our food are imported, and we need a real change. We need to create more opportunities, like I talk about the tourism sector. And we could keep $1 billion in the Bahamas if we start to grow our own food. Major steps to reshaping agriculture, increasing food security include developing a multi-million dollar domestic pottery industry with grants for Bahamian farmers, providing millions in funding, right, for 100% owned products, and be able to manufacture 27, hold on, let me say that again, excuse me, let me get that, wow, that's crazy, I'm sorry, they're producing millions in funding, own farms to create modern, climate resilient operation, and manufacturing 27 million years 27 million eggs per year. Each chicken in a grocery bag should come from a Bahamian farmer. And he said this is just the beginning of what will be a $100 million investment in food security and production. In 2023, I'm going to be traveling across the country, sharing information and many other opportunities, encouraging a new generation of farmers and fishermen, and working with Bahamians across our islands to usher in the new era of agriculture in the Bahamas. And this is the kind of stuff that we need to happen in our country because, like I said, you know, the young generation now that are living in these inner city communities in the Bahamas at large wants to find something creative to do. If we could get them involved and we give them incentive, and the government is investing millions. So this is something that we're going to have to bring to the Bahamian population, new ideas. And this is the thinking that we need from our government. I think Clay Sweden is onto the right program. You know, why buy eggs, okay? What sense of us importing eggs in the country? Importing bananas, plantain, onion, cabbage, sweet potato. Are we crazy? We have 700 islands, 700 keys. Come on, man. Back in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, we were trading with Haiti, Jamaica, Trinidad, and Tobago. As a young boy, the caller talked about Freddie Munnings. You know, I was the last to be a part of that. And we used to go diving for quarter stand on the bay screen. That's how we used to make our living, to be able to buy our Clarks shoes and stuff like that. We normally dive for quarters. And when we would go down Bay Street, we would any about 15, 20, 30 of young guys, all of us but the age of anywhere from around 11, 12, 13, to probably the oldest around 14, 15. And we would leave on a Saturday early, head out to Tantan. And we would ask the tourists, hey, buddy, hey, toss a quarter in the water, watch me dive and get it. You know, and sometimes they'd throw a handful of quarters, sometimes they'd throw a few quarters. But at the end of the day, 15, 20 of us would be walking over the hill, and some of us would have $25, some of us $50 in our pocket, some of that, all of us would have money, and all of us would have been happy coming over there. And we would stop to the local McDonald's or Kentucky, and, you know, we had fun. And all of us had our own money. So no one was trying to steal from nobody. We just was happy. You know, the police always would be running us, you know. Maybe we used to die for quarters. But out there, you had pineapples, you had fish, dry conch, tomatoes, pineapple, watermelon, oranges, with a tangerine, sours, galore. And people were just flocking downtown Bay Street. This is where the old city market was. They just make a new dock. They make the whole side dock downtown. Facing the scrum market, but that whole pair there. We used to have Jamaicans, Haitian, people from around the Caribbean just bringing their fruits and vegetables and trade and planting, and there was so much fruits and vegetables, and there was so much businesses, you know, for Bahamians and neighboring country from Haiti and Jamaica and et cetera, you know. And so we went away from that. And after we started eating, he said, you know, we ain't want no more fish. You know, everyone, I could always remember this. I was a young boy, and we were living in the house, and everyone started saying they tired of fish and conch. You know, that's when we were having a healthy diet. We used to eat a lot of fruits, vegetables, all the vitamins. You know, we didn't have this high diabetes or all these cancer and all these diseases because we eating with the season. We eating canap, we eating soursop, we eating Eddie, we eating a lot of lime, we eating a lot of fruits, vegetables, bananas, you know, we eating dilly, we eating juju, we eating plum, you know, so we used to have a complex diet, you know, and then we had a lot of seafood, you know, because we were more an island back in the day, you know, and then we stopped eating like that, and then we started eating more pork chop, more, you know, pig, and, you know, a lot of rice, and et cetera, stopped eating all the vegetables, and et cetera, and we changed our food diet. And we shorten our lifespan. That's why we get all this high cholesterol and et cetera now, because we started eating bad in the last 50 years in the country. So it's good that we going back to the algae culture. And the government of the Bahamas is spending over $100 million. And they're saying they're looking to give crowdfunding in the millions. So I'm encouraging those who are in the algae culture business, look it up. Those who are young, at a young age, you're in school, and you want a plot of land in Andres or Cat Island or et cetera, this is the opportunity now for you to go into farming, you know. Just come up with your plan now. The government is giving funding. You go do your research, get your paperwork sorted out, and, you know, you might be living here in Nassau, and you might get a couple of acres, and you could start a Pacific farm doing one Pacific set of crop of fruits, seasonal, you know. Pineapple, watermelon is going to be beneficial because we need a lot of healthy food again, you know, and we could get a lot of cheap food again in the food stores. And, you know, it's a plus. It's a plus. It's great. But we need to eat healthy again. And anyone know I'm talking the truth. Back 45 years ago, those kind of diseases didn't exist in the Bahamas. I think we've become a city. Like I said, we're an island, and we have decided to become a city. In doing so, we lost our way, you know. We lost our way, just like how we lose all the small businesses. Now you think about this. East Street, Market Street, Wolf Road, and all them places that be aiming businesses now. Now this is no disrespect or no nationality, okay? This is just real life. Why are foreigners owning all these businesses all over the country and Bahamians don't own no small businesses like how we used to? Because we get complacent, we lost our way, and we need to regain our way again. As I'm going to tell you this, we could be a dying race in this country because we can't find no employment. Because we ain't going to work for what people go work for. And because we ain't going to work for what people work for, we ain't going to work at all. And all we could do is pray on the next brother and gossip. And why it's being gossiping, you're going to end up being homeless. Nothing in the bank. Can't help your own child. You can't even help your own mother if they ask you to help them. You can't even help yourself. And time is going to pass you by. And then you don't have nothing. You wasted a whole 50, 60 years for nothing. And you bring these children in the world to just to suffer. Think about that. That's what our society is going to now. Because even our government, based on listening to the major investment they're doing for the country, which is beneficial to a vast amount of Bahamian people, you know, we getting contracts and et cetera. You know, some would be getting small business. But what about the set that lives in the inner city community will never have the opportunity? You're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You can end up just like that. Think about that. I don't want to get old worrying with people. You know, that's like what Juan said to the caller or the person who's messaging him. Juan said, I listen, and he said, I'm content. You know, I made a decision for me and my wife and my family. I'm in a good position, you know. So why is that person sending that message to him? Juan is telling you, brother, my light is paid. I get a couple $1,000 in the book. If I need to go buy one car, I could go buy one car. If I need to go to the bank and my wife is in some type of aid, I could go and do that. Now, that person might can do the same thing, but what if that person ain't in that position like Juan? So why would you be want to watch Juan? What you need to go focus on, you need to go focus on yourself and see how you're going to help yourself and help your situation so that when your son and your daughter, when your mom who brought you in this world ask you for some help, you are a helpful person and you're not a bum. You know? So the opportunity is the government is providing. And for those who might want to criticize the government, they're taking the steps in the right direction. It's just you going to be creative and find a way out of topping in the market. You know? I know and I see a vision. And my vision is to get the tourism industry in the community that I reside in to bring a revenue. So we get up on the flux, we're bringing funds in the community, in the small business, we can start to thrive and make some hundreds, then some thousands as we get better. And everyone, as they see this profit, and you're not going to be a part of it if you're a bad attitude, you're a person who no one can tell you nothing. No, it's for persons who we can sit down and have a conversation who want to change their lifestyle in order for them to have a better future, start a better family. You know, everything comes down in this country today, far as I'm concerned. I look at all the scenarios, and I understand one thing. Crime, abuse, certain crimes. Okay, certain crimes. When I'm certain crimes, I'm excluding. I'm talking about certain murders. I'm talking about sexual abuse, like rape. That is no excuse. Abuse of children. That is no excuse. Raping or killing children, that is no excuse. That is exceptional. But the majority of the crimes comes in play because of unemployment. It all adds up. Don't care how we put it. It's just a bunch of poor people making bad choices. But I think if we start empower one another, we start to see the potential of the community, we start a tribe off the community and it'd be beneficial to us. We'd see a change and our mind thinking. Yeah, because I was just like a lot of young boys out there. And my mind changed when I started to meet people, you know. I started to meet a lot of people. I met Selinden, you know, I met Perry Christie, you know, I met Lady Penland, you know, I met Brent Simonet, I met his wife, I met Melis. And when I started to, Debbie Bartlett, and I started to meet people in high society, and it started to change my mind from being a guy on the street, and my mind, whole mindset changed, and I said, wow, these people are living a real nice life. And I said, wow, you know, if I can change my mindset, I probably can be successful to be able to take some of this knowledge and make some things happen in my community and make their mindset change. Because I was the voice of the voice. And I strategized, and far as I can see, the only way we're going to ever bring down crime, bring down abuse in this country, if we empower the citizens, okay? Help them to become self-sustainable. Their minds will change, they start to do better, and they make better decisions. There are some going to fall through the cracks, but we will be able to correct it because we are headed in the right direction. So I want to also say to Chester Cooper, your recommendation for the refurbishment of Bay Street, I support it 100%, Mr. Cooper. You're doing a fantastic job on the family island with the development. That's going to be very beneficial to that community. But the guests are coming over in the inner city community, and they don't have no place to stop. You know, let's create some stops for them in the inner city community so that we can empower some of these young ladies, some of the older residents in the community who have still have these wood carving skills and have these junk canoe skills and have these cooking skills. Let's bring them back out and let them start to teach the young kids in the community again. Show them how to make a good living without a thief or a steal right in their community. You know, like I said, the old city market to me is a gold mine. You know, I was saying if that was to turn into a scroll market and we put about 50 or 100 vendors in there from different parts of Mason Edition, Hay Street, Banton, that'd just be the gateway. And then we create some smaller little stalls to certain part of the community so that when the tourism comes down from City Market, they could go Market Street, they could go East Street, and they could follow the road, they could go to the Junk and the Shark, they could go to the One Family Junk and the Shark, they can go to my restaurant, they could go to Tiger's restaurant, they could go stop to the barber, they could stop to the guy who doing wood carving on the side of the road, they could stop to the guy who doing some $25 paint, you know, paint with an old abandoned house, and they stand up there and they watch it, and then you charge them a little $15, $25. But at the end of the day, if you have a volume of guests who are customers coming through, and you were able to sell four or five of those, you make $107 and you get off early. It's not like you're on a 9 to 5, you know? So these are the kind of stuff what we need to develop for our tourists that come to the Bahamas. We have to create some for our tourists. Don't let them come and you see these old cars and all abandoned buildings and all, and that's it. And then we're putting on the nose how beautiful the Bahamas is. They walk into the inner city communities. I want to encourage the Minister of Environment to get on the ground, to serve the ground. I want the Minister of Environment, the Honorable Vaughn Miller, to get on the ground. A cleaner program just went with $1.2 million budget. I think that is way too small because we have guests coming. Listen, we have guests, okay, coming over the hill. We need to remove all these dialect vehicles and create some green spaces. We need to clean up these yards that are visible when these taxi drivers and these guests are walking. You know, they're taking pictures. You know, I'm doing my best I can I clean up the neighborhood. But I have problems too because I clean up the day. Some neighbor's gonna pay a guy who on drugs $5-$10 just to go to clean up their yard. We just clean up the yard. They're gonna give them $5-$10 to go and move the garbage out their yard to go put in the yard. We just clean up. So we have a back and forth. But like I said, it's working out, and that's us as a Bahamian society. But we're talking to residents now. They're reporting to me and letting me know who is sending the garbage. And you know what I'm doing now? I'm going to the police. I was going to the police at first. You know what I'm doing? I tell them, put the garbage right back in the trolley and push it back to the same person who he paid to send the garbage. Because he knows it's troubling. Because when the trolley get pushed, everyone saying the trolley come from this way. So that's what I'm doing. And then I stand up and I tell them, I send that. I say, just clean up the property. I tell you all, we're cleaning up, put your trash out. You wait till the last minute when we done clean up. Now you come do this, and then to try put a slap on our face, you're going to try and clean up your yard now and throw it on the yard we just cleaned up. So this is the kind of stuff. So I want government also to start taking people to court for these properties that are unclean. All these dialect vehicles that residents who live in these particular houses, and they have the car on the side of the road, we can't have that no more because we have guests walking through our streets, okay? We have to be pristine and clean, you know? They're walking through and coming in the abundance now, and what are they going to see? All the abandoned houses with all kind of garbage in it. So the minister, you and the Minister of Environment, you need to get in your car, and the government need to get in the car and see the guests are coming over. And they're not getting harassed. Because you know one stupid enough in the community that I reside in to even bother with the tourists. Because I'm going to tell you this now. I don't know why I'm in no police. All of those little guys around the corner, hey, we coming to get you. And we taking you to the police. Because we can protect our community and we can protect our country. Because this is a step in the right direction and the opportunities are so great. So I, you know, so many people would say, you know, crime. Like I said again, we had 127 murders. Okay? We had one guest who got killed from firearm. Bahamians are shy towards tourists. Guests are walking through the streets now, and the children them are pointing and laughing because this is the first time they're actually seeing people of that nature coming through their community in abundance. And they are curious. You know, guys standing up and asking them good morning and pointing them, they ask them for direction. But imagine if you had some business set up. A prime example is I gave a suggestion to former minister, Adani Johnson, some years ago on the Yuli Wogus. And I could see the potential with Fort Finn Castle. And I made a recommendation, I think it was on this show, and I said that there, if you were to put up stalls, how it could be beneficial to the community and residents. Well, prior to COVID-19, up there was making $1 million a year. Then across from the government house, I gave a recommendation to my friend Yuli Wogus. He's the creator at Central Bank, and he's working with me as one of my partners to put some garbage bins like we're on Bay Street, down on Lewis Street, sort of in the gas, and we walk into the community that instead of turning out the car window, we're looking for solutions. So we are looking to put about 20 garbage bins, like basically on the side of the road. So then if you're driving through a car or you're walking, you can just put the garbage in the can. And in 2 days' time, we would remove it. And his wife, Amanda Coulson, was working at the National Gallery. And then you would say, Yuli said, man, Scrooge, you know, you're a genius. You know, you talk about many great ideas. He said, what you think would happen around here? I said, wow. I said, this corner here, as you can imagine, of all these old buildings, through this corner was to get refurnished. Okay, see where Greycliff is? go down to the National Art Gallery across from Government House, left. Mm-hmm. Where all those stalls are, there was recommendation made by Yuli Vogas and myself. And you see how many tourists be through Great Cliff Corner. All right? So these things can happen in close proximity of Bay Street. You know, Edwin Moxie was made a success down in Yellowella across from the Guardian. Where Big Pond is now. Where the NIBS up in that area. Edwin Moxie was able to make a successful tourist attraction. It brought great musicians like Freddie Munnings and you know, Ronnie Butler and so many other great Sweet Emily who, you know, and some before Sweet Emily who made a career and traveled the world because we had some of the greatest singers here in Nassau, New Providence, were singing away to nightclubs. And we had stars like Gladys Knight listening to Freddie Munnings and listening to some of the old residents who are still living. And they talk about the time how the nightlife used to be in the inner city community. And then the drugs came in the later part of the 70s. And then the tourists were barred from coming over the hill because the Bahamian people were no longer that sociable no more. They were preying on one another, you know, because the cocaine and the rum came in, and we were family-oriented and community-oriented. And then they just destroyed us. And then, you know, we had a mental health issue and a problem that was not diagnosed properly 50 years ago. And we just treated it through the crime. You spend the time. And we sent many people to Fox Hill Prison. They didn't get rehabilitated. And in the course of so, we destroyed a whole generation of Bahamians who fall through the cracks. So that's why it's so important now, why we have this opportunity, this influx of 10 million visitors 2023, to really capitalize and create a lot of small businesses, a lot of trades, you know, to create a lot of jobs. With the many small businesses that can be established in the inner city community, especially with the Junkanoos, the agriculture sector, the fishing sector, the maritime sector, the small business sector, and the close proximity of Bay Street to Bantan, Grandstand, and Mason Addition, the tourism industry, we can bring unemployment down in this country. And I think this itself can be a deterrent to crime. Because I truly feel deep in my heart over the years, because there's no one, a bad boy, you can name who I didn't have contact with in the last 30 years. You can name them all I've had contact with. When I was a bad boy, bad boys was attracted to me. And I could tell you from all different walks of life, from killers to guys who rape, who I didn't like, but I know what they were doing. And sometimes they just come on, they come heal me. But it came down to, you know, not having a family, you know, making bad decisions, going to jail, spending time. And when you come back out, there's nothing the community can give to you. So you just go back to a life of crime. And I could go on and on with many names, you know, top names, you know, I've hung with, I've been with, you know. Many died. And like I said, the story is familiar. So based on that, I came to one conclusion. I would use the influence I have that when I go around the right set of people, that I'd fight for rehabilitation, I'd fight for small businesses, I'd fight to fight for talk about the truth, about the true Messiah, so that we could get that awakening again and connection with God again, so that we could find our way I would fight for things that I know we can benefit from. Because what I'm saying to the general public is the Bahamian people was a segregated society from the tourism industry for the last 40 years in this country. Just like we had the wall on Centerville where we had Bahamians who were here and they were British, but they were Bahamians and they put up a wall and they had us segregated where we couldn't interact with them. That's no different than the tourists not coming over the hill. Because we were not benefiting from the guests that comes to our shore. So we were segregated in this country for many years. And now we're getting unsegregated. And that is the only way we're going to be able to have a brighter future. Because we have the guests coming, but they're not coming spending over the hill. So that's segregation. Don't care how you put it. The police were not allowing them to come over the hill because of the crime back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. I was there, you know. Living in the community, I used to care to guess them. Francis Hotel, I live in the back of Francis Hotel. Wola Francis, the leader of the Saxon Jungle Group, his family was there. Doc Francis, Diana Francis, you might know Diana Francis. She's a pastor. All of them, they were my neighbors, and they had a Francis Hotel. They had a hotel named the Francis Hotel, and there they had visitors. And in turn, we used to have the latest technology as a young boy. I used to have the latest TV, air phones, and et cetera, because when the guests came off the cruise ship, they would stay there for 3 days or a week, and I would carry them to the local convenience store. And I'm talking about white guests, you know. Then we had a lot of black guests, but I had a lot of white guests coming to the Francis Hotel. We had A and B across the road, which is their auntie, Miss Johnson. And then we had our next A and B on Taylor Street. And we had the next hotel that had white people in Grandstand as a little boy. So we had a lot of American money in the community and a lot of small business was in that community. And when, like I said, the Francis Hotel used to have many guests. And when they're going back to their home in Florida or wherever they're from, Canada or wherever they're from, even the Chinese used to come back in the day. But they would leave us with all that technology. And that's how come we used to be more technology advanced. And that's what I said the Bahamas was second to none to the U.S. because the same technology were coming in the U.S. We had the Bahamas. And that's the connection we had. And when that was broken, we lost that opportunity. And then we just went to harming one another. So we lost that tourism industry. We lost that. We couldn't touch it no more because they were not allowing the tourists to come over no more. If the tourists wanted to come over, they would have to drive in the taxi, right? Or the horse and carriage guy would just ride them to the neighborhood, you know? But they would just ride in taxi in the hill. So we gone from being... We going from being in close contact, physical contact, to into a zoo. Okay? We going from physical contact means helping the guests come, staying in our local hotels or staying in our community, taxi them now, riding a taxi and waving to us like we is gorilla. And like I always say, you know, I ain't a handsome guy, you know, I's a scroggly guy, you see, so I must see the chimpanzee, because all I do is hail and ride past. And that thousands of dollars, you know, we're looking for employment. We're looking for work, right? But if we're on this park and we have some stalls and stuff, we sell some Drake, we sell some Beam and Honor Fox, we're playing some basketball, you know, the taxi driver's going to stop and they're going to come out. And if Tanner's out there, are they going to stop this one of these stalls and they're going to spend some there. And they're going to hang for a little bit and watch us play basketball. And then they're going to go on a journey. Then the next set is going to come and take some pictures of us. We're sharing our hospitality. You know, and I've been doing this on H Street Park for a little while. And that's how I know these things can't work. I give you two examples would work. One on the Ford Hill and one across the road. And these are adjacent, you know. Ford Hill is right to Government House on the Fort Finn Castle. And left, it's left to Great Cliff. So the National Art Gallery, and they have a Wally Maturis till 5 o'clock. The National Art Gallery, they still have tours right there. Still walking up in that area right now, so they be out late because that's a safe zone. And you need to see how they beautify all those old buildings, and they turn them into something. Breakfast place, lunch place, chocolate factory, hot place, being in the Phoenix stuff, and the guests is true to going on. You understand? It's the only way for us. People will say, well, not only tourism, but listen to me. You get 10 million people. Okay? 10 million business yours. How much money you think those 10 million making? But we're not benefiting. And like I say, this leads to why we have so much unemployment in the country. And that money is going to trickle down and open so much different opportunities. Because that money is going to go from the inner city community, from Mason Edition, Grandstand, and Bantan. And it's going to trickle down. Because people are going to end up doing some work up in the area. And the money's going to trickle down. And then we start to create an economy again. And a lot of middle-class families again are going to be developed again. You know, because we have revenue, constant revenue means you need constant customers. Okay? And constant customers is the 7 million that were here in 2019. And the record, 10 million that are set to be here 2023. And that's volume. We just have to find a way to top in them. Instead of tourists riding to the community and looking at me like I is a gorilla and you like a lion, well, we could become again our guests again. If guests, they guest us, and then we can be able to earn a living in each respective community where these guests are coming. Okay? So Minister Juan Miller, you need to ride to this inner city community. And some places have trash in it. You're going to have to get your personnel, and they're going to have to go and clean up. There are a lot of cars still need to be removed, okay? And then the government of Obama is going to sit down with some people in their respective community who have some input on what they'd like to see happen in their community. And if they have a good and an idea, I think the government should work with them the best way possible, because your job is to bring unemployment down. If you want to bring crime down, you want to give people an opportunity for a better life. You know, it's no better opportunity now than to make recommendation in order to see this progress. Because the ministry also said, I listen, that they're going through these communities and looking to buy abandoned houses. Like I said, some of these abandoned houses can be turned into green spaces where the tourists can pass you and sit down and have a coffee or a sandwich or get a hair braid, you know, or set up like a little mini mall where you have different people with trades, like the caller said, no setup, proper area security, proper areas nice and clean, hospitality, it's at its best. Everyone in the community is friendly to the guests that enters the community. And understand the importance of the guests, and we treat them the best as we can as individuals. And we see the change. There's no other way. I don't see it. You know, there's no other way. You know, agriculture, maritime, fishing industry, the tourism industry. Buying all those together, and we'd have a great Bahamas. We can take this last call. Go ahead, caller.
Kusi.
Hey.
Yeah, enjoying the conversation, you know. The thing is, you know, the guy, Freddie Munnings, you know, like whenever he comes on the air, right?
Hey.
And, you know, he talk about the olden days. He's much older than us. And you get a sense of nostalgia, and he's full of knowledge, you know. I was really... I was hoping between him and his brothers, and they have a rich history. They should write a book in some kind of way, because it really, you just enjoy him when he come on the airwaves. Believe you me, because a lot of you like how you sharing some of these intricate details, right? And so I had read Malcolm X book. I think, who was the famous civil rights leader that spent time in Grandstand? It was Martin Luther or Malcolm
Martin, X? Martin Luther King. Yeah. Hold on, not only him, Martin, watch this. Dr. Robert Love inspired Marcus Garvey.
He was the boat captain for Marcus Garvey, right?
Yeah, Marcus Garvey was in the community also in 1927.
Yeah, Marcus, The thing is, you brought the chronology back to me, but it was still big because I read the book over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But last week you give me a big joke and you give me a joke again, right? And I modded you for that because I was so laughing. Well, I promised my little cousin to do one bicycle seat for him and he keep coming, right? So I was in the shop waking, and then you said, they passing in the ghetto looking at you all like chimpanzees, right? So laughing. Because you caused me to remember a story in which they had placed a young man from the Twa tribe, they known as Pygmy, inside the Bronx Zoo in the 1920s on the display.
All right.
Yeah, so you're not far-fetched, but all I know you got to go, but just keep it up, my brother. All right. Up.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot. Enough respect. Yeah, man. Yeah, enough respect. But like I said, you know, they're passing. They want to spend. They want to interact. And let's get this thing on what? This travel advisory. Let's, come on, Bahamians. Look at your statistics. I was the only one who was saying this. I always defend my country. Now, I was a guy on the streets, and I know better that the tourists are in danger when they come to the Bahamas. Come on, you guys. Some of y'all aren't thinking logical if you're always looking at the numbers. If you're looking at the numbers could tell you this for many years. That was never the case. All right? It ain't about the murder. We have a few boy snatching and et cetera, like I said. And then we get this, you know, if you look at other countries where the American tourists are getting kidnapped, they're getting raped, they're being held for hostage. Huh? We know what those kind of stuff, those things don't happen in the country because we don't think like that. So for us to be labeled as don't go there on a cruise ship, it's pretty absurd. What they're supposed to be saying is that, you know, there's a block of black in the Bahamas where we had 127 murders, and it's all against Bahamians, right? Just like in Miami and South Florida. But they treat us here like the gem of the world. And they love us here. And there's no reason why you don't need to come to the Bahamas. Because there's every reason you come to the Bahamas because you're going to get treated as one of the best places in the world. Okay, Donald Trump even come and said it. He made a statement about the Bahamas being some nation. And I made some comments. Now, I didn't say he respond back to me. But he made some comments stated because someone right up on it and say, we don't have crime against tourists in the murder. Someone put the numbers down. And then he said, you know, he apologized and that is not all. And it is a safe place to go. He said this in office. I heard Donald Trump said this in Zoom out when he was president. Before he said something bad about the Bahamas. When he talked about the crime this and crime this. Now we have Joe Biden, who I don't know what the hell the president of the United States talking about. You understand? Like they trying to bring down the Bahamas. They talking about in the newspaper. I saw where the Bahamas government is holding how much? What's this? $3.5 billion asset of FTX. Remember I said that? We were holding at the Bahamas government. So that's why I said we should have given bid. Because we are ready. The Security Commission, which protects the Bahamas, seize his money, that $3.5 billion. And that's why we're supposed to put him on a bid, and we got access to even more. You understand? But we got tricked, right? Now they're saying that they don't want to give the information to the Bahamian government because of corruption. Who is more corrupt than the USA of America? Who? And what country is more corrupt than the USA? What country? Yeah, we a little corrupt in here, in the Bahamas, I must say. But who country is more corrupt than the U.S.? Huh? Hmm. So I just want to say that and help that topic. I believe we can get our bearings again. We had in 50 years. We're a young nation. We have the potential to make a turnaround. Gangs, we started, it's a grace period now. We're just going to have some killing around. We're just going to be domestic, some guys still in wall, but the major gangs are not really functional like that no more. I even see it in the community that I reside in. Like I said, I don't see many guys who go in the jungle in groups no more. So we have a chance now to introduce trade, introduce small business in the schools. We teach the kids no more how to be entrepreneurship at a very young age and start to teach them how to do trade and small business, teach them discipline, you know, teach them agriculture, fishing, the fishing industry, teach them maritime, you know, provide them with the best opportunity. There's $100 million invested in agriculture industry, according to Mr. Clay Sweden. He's the Minister of Agriculture. And I hope that we take great opportunity and try not to spend $1 billion a year. If we can reduce the import of eggs, pottery, tomatoes, cabbage, sweet potatoes, we can make our own sugar and stuff, you know? We even can make our own tuna, sardine, all these stuff we can do, you know? All these are small businesses we can go into. We had some of these businesses here back in the 70s, 80s, you know? We had some of the top businesses when it comes to canned goods and et cetera, when it comes to fruits and vegetables, when it comes to farming, you know, in the country, you know, in the fishing industry, you know. A lot of businesses got closed down 40 years ago after we got our independence, you know. We had many companies, so we're going to have to reinvent the wheel again and provide as many opportunities as possible for people to go into these trades and become professional, become 100-aires, then become 1,000-aires, and then become millionaires in the country. You know, and like I said, that is going to change around the country. And everything I did and all the programs I come up with, I come to one conclusion. We have to be able to empower people. Because everyone I see who I pass on in the city community always asks me, you get any work? I need work. I don't care what type of life they're living or what type of person they are. They always asking, I need some work. I need a job, man. Ain't nothing happening for me. So don't get old in this Bahamas gossiping and worrying with people. Get your ugly get up before you get old on this road and you ain't getting nothing. All right? Because you regret it. I have an uncle, again on this note. Many of y'all might see him on Market Street. My grandmother passed away. She has him in short. She pays for him to go in a home, old Yellowella. My uncle, man, he goes in this home, he plays like he had good, you know. They release him sometimes. Then when he don't play like he had good, he would feces and they would put him out. Then he would go on the streets and he would terrorize the street. He has more clothes than you and me combined together, all right? He doesn't need nothing. It's just that he wastes his life. Only God can help him. And there are many other young men out there who are just like him, and even some females. And many of them just don't have nowhere to turn or don't have no answer. So let's try to provide some opportunities with some new investment, actually some old investment, and let these communities be able to sustain themselves with some creative ideas. And like I said, my uncle, he would never ever use the bathroom. I don't think if you build a house for him and you put him in, he would not stay in it. He has to be sleeping on the side of the road. The thing is with him, he teaches me something, you know. He doesn't worry about nothing. He sits on the corner and people bring him Kentucky, McDonald's. He'd have $100 there, $200 to lay down. You know what he'd do with it? He'd take it and clean it with it. Put it on the ground. You hear me say? My uncle's have hundreds of dollars. right down in front of Purity Bakery on Market Street, what people would give him. And he don't have no value for money. Anyone who pass, they see the money on the ground, or he come and he say, Bamian, so did you. Tell you, go right to Joe, and he'd give you $50 or $100 or $20, and when you come back, give him change in money, he'd go. And he ain't mean, but he have no value. He don't value nothing. He don't value his own life. So he teach me something. That's my Uncle Prince Brennan. So, yeah. We completely out of time. So I hope you enjoyed the show. And be encouraged. I want some of the guys to get in the Junkin' Up groups, especially the one family you want in the Junkin' Up Red. I went and not said that. Socks in the coming, Wally are coming. Genesis are coming. It's going to be great competition. I don't know who's going to win the Junkin' Up Red, but either way, I wish all of the Junkin' Up groups the best. I hope each and every one of them perform the best of their ability. Whether it all come, who wins or who loses, it's the concept of Junkin' Up on the whole that makes Junkin' Up. Because if Saxon was to go there by themselves, it wouldn't be Junkin' Up without one family or the Wally Boys or the Prodigal Sons or the Roots and the Music Maker and Genesis. Combined together, it's Junkin' Up, you know? So keep up the good work and enjoy yourself. And I hope that we make headway to start small businesses to attract the tourists that are coming to our community on a regular basis in the inner city community. We'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Being torn, I say up and running. Caliban say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, Watch them only passion for a season. Godless, I gon' weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from. Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you'll definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I